Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I certainly do have an important guest with something to say that you need to hear. She is Rebecca Duvall. Rebecca is married to a medically retired law enforcement officer who is now a first responder chaplain. They have three children, two teenagers and one adult, and she is the author of In His Way, a story about the trials and triumphs of being married to a law enforcement officer and coming to faith. Rebecca is a speaker and blogs at inhisway.net. She is available for guest posts and speaking engagements. She speaks at conferences, retreats, moms events, and Bible studies, and considers herself to be a numbers geek, coffee and cupcake connoisseur, and a person who loves dancing and laughter. Since accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior in 2008, God has allowed her to serve Him in many wonderful ways, such as on an Alpha Course committee and as an Alpha table leader, as a Bible study fellowship leader, on a MOPS Moms Next committee and as a Moms Next table lead, as a finance committee chair, elder of prayer, and CFO at her church, Covenant Community Church, and as the 1013 Foundation Board Secretary. She enjoys sharing God's stories with others and would love to hear about yours. So please drop her a line and tell her about yourself and how God is working in your life. Visit her website, inhisway.net. And I am so interested to hear her story and share that with you. So welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here too, because I have to ask you an extremely important question. What is a coffee and cupcake connoisseur?
Ooh, well, you know, first thing in the morning when I love to have my quiet time with God, I do that while sipping on coffee. It's just my way to get started and motivated and going for the day. And my favorite is the bold, strong. The bolder and the stronger it is, the more go I get. And cupcakes, I have to tell you, I love things miniature. I love little things. And I love cake, but who can eat like a whole cake, right? Mm-hmm. So I love the cupcake because it's a small, mini, individual cake made just for me. And it's so easy to try multiple flavors all in one sitting. I love to get multiple cupcakes, different flavors, and then cut them in half and share them with friends. So, and I seem to be known by everyone, all my friends and family, as the cupcake snob. So everyone's always bringing me cupcakes because they know that I will love them.
I love that. I wish you were closer. I'd stop by and maybe you could share a cupcake with me.
Oh, I would love to do that.
You're in Vacaville, correct?
In Vacaville, yes.
Vacaville, is that how you pronounce it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, a lovely wine country.
Yes, we're very close to the wine country. Yes, we are.
Yep. Do you know Salinas Winery?
Salinas Winery. No, I have not been there.
Okay. All right. Check that out. I think we know the folks that own the place. So,
ooh, good
yeah.
To know.
Maybe someday we'll make a trip. We'll have wine and cupcakes and coffee.
Oh, yes. That'd be a treat.
Oh, you're awesome. Well, now, today I watched your 5-minute video on your website about your journey with your husband, and I was truly touched. So,
Thank you. We
talk about your book, will you share that journey with us? As I know that it will give our listeners much greater insight into you and your writing.
Well, it all started with me as a non-believer, kind of knowing there was a God out there, but I was not a believer, and I had just become so consumed with doing things and pleasing people, and God, thankfully, He knew me. He brought this amazing group of women into my life who taught me about Him and prayer, how to communicate with Him. So at that time, I gave my life to Christ, and from that point on, my marriage was just crumbling because my husband and I were kind of growing apart, very far apart, which unfortunately a lot of couples do as they grow in their marriage. And at the same time, my husband had an affair, and that just devastated me. But God was made it very clear to me that I was to stay and I was to fight for my marriage. And I didn't know how to do it, but I believed that that's what He wanted me to do. So I stayed, and shortly after that, my husband became very ill. And over the course of multiple years, he had a heart attack, a stroke, he had kidney problems, in and out of the hospital, multiple surgeries, and then he went into ultimate kidney failure. And at that time, my husband had asked me to donate a kidney to see if I, or at least be tested to see if I could. And I just laughed, like thought it was ridiculous. But through my husband, as he continued to get ill, he needed to have heart surgery, open heart surgery. Through that, God revealed to me that he wanted me to be tested, and I was to trust him of what the what happened, you know, what would happen through that. So I did. I decided I was going to be obedient, no matter how frustrating that was, how much I did not want to do it. So I got tested, and then I found out that I was indeed a match. And everyone around us was absolutely shouting for joy. You know, it's a miracle. It was an amazing thing what I was doing for my husband. But inside, I was just, I was dying. I didn't want to do it. I was scared. I really realized I hadn't truly forgiven him for what he had done to me years back. I was still holding on to that deep inside. But through that, as I gave that to God, he completely healed me of that. He took completely took it from me and just gave me peace. So I was able to confidently, courageously, and boldly go forward into the surgery, believing that it was going to be exactly how God wanted it and everything was going to be okay. So I ended up, I did give my husband a kidney, and he became healthy through that. It helped his body heal after having his heart surgery months prior to that. And it ended up not just healing my husband physically, but it healed our marriage. It put us on the road to healing our marriage completely so that we can come back together unified as a couple that God intended us to be as husband and wife.
This is such a huge story, and it must have been a giant leap of faith for you.
It was. Mm-hmm. And when I found out that I was a match, and I told my husband, you know, I just simply made a comment. So I got the call. I'm a match. He jumps into gear telling everybody, posting online, you know, Rebecca's giving me her kidney. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't say I was doing that yet. but yeah, I did. I ended up, because I knew I needed to be obedient to God. And I knew that it was God that had, that this was happening, because he had arranged it, that this was his plan. Because when I was called and told that I was a match by my caseworker, she had said, not only are you a match, but when we put your blood and your husband's blood together, normally one will want to dominate the other one. But she said, your blood sat oh so harmoniously with your husband that it was unbelievable.
Wow.
So I knew that it was God calling me to do this, and that I needed to be obedient. Now there would, and I believed that there would be blessings, not knowing what they would be, but that he would bless me, bless us through it.
Wow, receiving that phone call to hear that your blood was sitting there oh so harmoniously, and you're thinking about your physical life together that wasn't oh so harmonious, you had to have taken that as a sign and to pay attention to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was hard, because I wanted to, you know, everything in me wanted to just run.
Run, exactly.
It made me sick. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't understand, but knew that I needed to move forward with it.
Oh, my. I think we all have moments that we can look back and think, whoa, I wish I maybe would have done that differently and maybe paid attention to what I was supposed to have done or the signs that we got there. So all of this happened to you. Is that the catalyst that made you decide to write the book?
You know, probably before this, when my husband was first getting sick, I was at a women's conference one weekend, and I was listening to the speakers, and they were sharing their stories, And it was stories of how God got them through some tragic event or something going on in their life, how they got through it because they trust in God in it. And during this time, I realized the importance of sharing our stories. And because I've always kind of grown up and you kind of keep your everything's private. You keep your stuff to yourself. You know, you don't go blabbing to everybody about what's going on. So this was kind of a new concept to me, the people going and having people, you know, share their gut-wrenching stories. But the difference was they weren't just saying, oh, I went through this awful, devastating thing. They were saying, look what God brought me through. And so through that, I felt like God was speaking to me saying, I want you to share your story. But at the time, I was still in the midst of my story. I was still down in the valley in the trenches. But he kind of made it known at that time that you will share how I will get you through this. Mm-hmm. So I kind of kept that in the back of my mind. And it was not long after that he put on my heart to write out my story. And, of course, I thought God was nuts. I'm like, I think you're talking to the wrong person. Because, as you mentioned, I'm a numbers geek. I've always done accounting, you know, worked with numbers. Excel's my favorite software program.
Okay.
So formulas, you know, that's my thing. So writing and speaking was like the last thing I thought I would ever do. So when he was calling me to this, I was kind of hesitant and kind of put it off and tried to ignore it as long as I could until he started bringing people to me telling me, you should write a book, you should share, you should go speak. And the more that happened, the more I'm like, okay, God, I hear you talking to me through these people. And that's when I started paying attention.
How did you know it was God and that you just didn't happen to meet a certain group of people or just happened to stumble upon an idea?
The way that I can interpret when it's God is when something comes to my mind or my heart that is not something that I would normally think of or would purposely avoid. And then when later it's confirmed by things that I hear, things that I'm told, things that I see around me, that's how I know that it's of God and not of myself or of man. Mm-hmm. And if I'm ever confused on that, I take that to prayer, asking for more confirmation, and then it comes.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not of God, it's usually a thought or a feeling that will soon fade.
Okay, interesting. Now, as you were becoming involved with God and with these women that led you in that direction, did you immediately get connected to a church, or was it more of a private thing for a while? How did that work for you?
I got connected pretty quickly to a church because one of the women, all the women that I went with, it was a prayer group, and every one of the women, they were all went to different churches. So we just happened to have a conversation one day where I was asking them about what churches they went to. And they were kind of sharing where they went, what they did there, how they became involved there, how long were there, you know, kind of telling me their church history stories. And one of the ladies just said, hey, you want to go to church with me? And it's a church that's very, very close to where I live. So I thought, okay, I think I'm ready to check it out. So I did, and I have not stopped going since.
And you're actively involved.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, the first year I was kind of just an attender. I was just kind of taking it all in. I enjoyed it. I loved it. And then I decided that I wanted to get more connected. It was probably about a year after I was going, I realized, I'm like, I'm meeting these people. I'm only seeing them like once a week for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, we're in worship and service, so there's not a lot of chit-chat time other than a little before, a little after. And I'm like, I want to get to know these women more, you know. So I had talked to some of my friends. I'm like, how do you do that? How do you get to know more? And they said, well, join a Bible study, join a group, you know, and a small group. So that's what I did. I looked into when there were different women's Bible study groups going on, found one that went with my schedule, and I just started going. And so I just, from that point on, I just kind of became more engaged. And as I got to know them and their many talents, they got to know me and my talents. And they, most of them were, had been in the church for a while, so they helped me plug into the areas that suited the gifts that I had. So
I see. Now, has your husband joined you in this journey?
Yes. Yes, we are both very involved in the church, and he is currently a law enforcement chaplain, or actually a first responders chaplain. He started as being a law enforcement chaplain since he was a law enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's a chaplain for all first responders with the county that we're in, as well as surrounding counties.
Wow, how beautiful. What a story, huh?
Yeah.
What a story. Now, you were married one time before. What gave you the strength then to leave your first husband, and how is it different with your second husband when you thought about leaving him?
First husband, I was not a believer. So I thought it was all about, life was all about getting what you wanted. If you wanted something, it was up to you to get it. And it was all about status, what you had, and in my first marriage, I just didn't think that he wasn't meeting my expectations that I had. I didn't think he did enough for me, offered enough for me. I spent all the years we were married, now that I look back, realizing I spent all that time trying to change him into the person that I thought he should be. So when I decided this is not happening, I can't change him, so I just left him. And then, and to me, it didn't seem like it was going to be a hard task to do, because I figured in my head, I was doing everything myself already. So to me, it wasn't a big deal to leave him. Now, with my second husband, I didn't even consider leaving until after I was a believer. So, because that all happened after I gave my life to Christ. So when this devastation happened, I went to God for help. And he made it clear that I was to stay and fight. So I kind of knew that he was going to help me, equip me to do that, not knowing what that was going to look like, but I trusted that God would help me through that. Mm-hmm. So that's what the difference was. I wasn't looking at just myself. I was looking outside of myself.
Mm-hmm. I get it. So how did your life change in the big picture once you gave your life to God?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I tell you, the things that I have done are things that, and I still hope to do, are things that I would never have imagined. Before I gave my life to Christ, I was a very quiet, shy, kept to myself, extremely busy, you know, but busy just doing little things, not that anything has to be, you know, big, but I didn't look outside of myself. It was just me and my little world. I was always so exhausted, and I, you know, always felt like there was so much weight on my shoulders, like the world was expected of me from everyone around me. But since I gave my life to Christ, it's just so much more calm in that respect, that I'm just so much lighter. Like I know it's not all up to me, that it's not my plan, it's not my way, it's not all up to me to please everyone around me. It's between me and God, and then he equips me and enables me to do everything that he desires me to do. So everything, even though I do so much more than I ever did, it's amazing because he equips me and enables me. It's like he brings to me everything that I need. I feel like I put in so little effort as when I'm following him. mm-hmm. because he just equips me with everything that I need. Like, it just comes, you know, it's just so little effort.
This is so very real and so true and raw and honest. I'm really enjoying this conversation. Thank you for just putting everything out there for us. I know we're digging deep into some personal questions, but I think that that helps those listening touch inside themselves too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the Bible, because I know that you obviously have studied that. Do you have a favorite Bible verse that you'd like to share?
Oh, my favorite Bible verse is in Romans 12:12, and it's I love it because it's so simple, but yet it covers everything. It's telling you that you're always supposed to always hope, never give up hope, and that you're always supposed to pray. Remember to pray at all times, because that's your communication with God, and He wants to communicate with us. It's not just, you know, us speaking to Him, or just Him, you know, calling down to us. It's a two-way communication. So it's telling you to remember to pray. And then it's reminding you that in tribulations, you know, to hang tough, to be tough and not to give up. So it's like all of that wrapped in this one little tiny verse. And it hit me. It was one of the first verses that hit me when I first gave my life to Christ. And it's still something that I remember every day, because it's just so, and then it's such an encouraging verse mm-hmm. to me. So I always go back to that. I don't think I've ever opened the Bible and read a chapter and not been just amazed, you know, verse after verse. It's just so filled with mm-hmm. just life. But that is my ultimate favorite.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Now, the cover of your book, let's talk about that. Who did that and how did that come about?
So the cover of my book is very simple. It's a picture of a quilt. And the quilt is, it's a real quilt. My mother made it for me to give my son, which was my third child. I was pregnant with him when she passed. And she decided to make this quilt while she was sick. She was battling cancer. And I had no idea that she was making this quilt. She was making it herself. She had made arrangements for a friend to help her finish it up, because she was at the very end of her life, and asked her to get it to me after the baby was born. And at the time that she had passed was the weekend before we found out if we were having a boy or a girl. So when my mother passed, she didn't know what the baby was. So it's not too long after the baby's born, maybe a week. My mom's friend comes over, asks to come over, and my dad brings her over, and she hands me this box. She says, "This is for you and the baby." So I open it, and it's just beautiful blue and white quilt, got angels embroidered on it, and clouds and moons. Well, when I look at this, I'm like, wow. And she says, "This is from your mother." I'm like, how is this possible? And I just broke down just in tears. I was just hysterical because we found out that we were having a boy days after my mom had passed.
No.
And then it was about a month later that my husband and I had come up with the theme for the baby's room, which actually my husband had it in his head, and he had told me what it was, and we decided, yeah, that sounds good, and so we decorated his room. His room was light blue with angels, moon, stars, clouds. All over the room.
Oh,
so this blanket matched perfectly the room. So I was like, oh my goodness. So I knew. It's like, and that was the first time that I ever acknowledged, like really openly acknowledged God. Because mm-hmm. I had made the statement. I said, God must have revealed this to my mother
mm-hmm.
so that she can do this.
Wow.
I had no other explanation how that happened. And even though I did not believe in God, I had acknowledged Him in that moment. And that was the first mm-hmm. real acknowledgement that I had of God.
Oh my, I love that story. What a gift to you, huh? And your son.
Yes.
Oh, how special. Well, that makes that cover of that book just so much more special when you look at it now, knowing that story,
When you first see the cover, most people, you know, would have no idea, but they will read about the cover in the beginning, towards the beginning. It's one of the first few chapters in the book where it, when I talk about my mom, that it explains the cover.
I love it. And it's a tribute and a legacy to her as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
I love that. Well, now, as you were writing this book, did you feel that you were writing it for you, or like as a cathartic experience, or did you have readers in mind? And if so, what was the message you wanted them to glean from the book?
I think definitely while writing it, it was definitely very therapeutic for me. Many tears were shed while writing this book. So I wanted to dive deep as possible. God was really calling me to just share my heart and be very raw and just truthful, very transparent. Because the point of it was to and is to share with others, and not just wives, but really anybody that's experienced anything in life, which we all do, whether we want to or not, is just to let people know that there is hope, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what struggles, no matter how ugly your life looks at the time, that there is a light at the end of it, that there is something beautiful within that tragedy. And we just have to take a moment to stop and purposely look for it.
Right.
So it's kind of just to share with others that, you know, don't give up, that it's up, that we have the choice to make every day while we're going through something to look at the negative or the positive, and that we're not alone in it. You know, we might feel like we're completely alone, no one understands, and be completely devastated. But that's not the truth, that we're not alone. God is always right there waiting, whether you have ever acknowledged him before or not. You could have your whole life claimed him not to be true. But all it takes is that one just glimpse of the possibility that God, what if God really is right there with me, offering what I need to get through this, you know, the what if.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of, you do that, and that's his invitation to step into your life,
mm-hmm.
and to completely change it. And I'm not saying it's going to change overnight. I mean, you know, when you read my book, this is years process. But the thing is that he is working. He wants to help us. He wants to change our lives. He has all that we need to get through any situation. We just have to be open to it.
And you offer this hope not only through your book, but you offer speaking events as well. So I think that's just another way for you to get the word out.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I share my story. I've shared parts of my story. I've shared the story on whole. I've shared my parts of my story with, and I always, when I'm speaking, I always surround it with scripture. So, and it's always about whatever I was going through, but always giving the glory to God.
Mm-hmm. And you're also embarking upon a new adventure. Maybe touch upon that before we begin to wrap up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I am currently taking a chaplaincy course, so I will be a chaplain as well as my husband. I've become involved in the 1033 Foundation, which is a group that helps first responders and their families, as well as military and their families. So my hope and my dream is to be able to go out into the world and to just be an encouragement to first responders, to female first responders, as well as the wives of the male first responders, and just bring encouragement to them, because I know that you know, the life of a first responder, especially in a marriage, it's like a marriage is hard enough as it is, right?
Right.
And you have the schedule of a first responder and the type of things that first responders see,
mm-hmm.
and the things that they hear and, you know, deal with on a, and just with their schedules, you know, their, it's so hard to have just a regular sleep habit during that, you know, when you have those type of schedules. And so you add all that onto the normal stressful life of being married and having children and, or just having a regular life, whether you're married or not, you know, trying to fit in society when you have, you know, such heavy things that are around you during your, you know, your work life, that I'm just hoping to be able to be a small piece to be able to go out and just bring encouragement and light to those areas and just help people... Oh, just kind of, I guess, debrief from the time that they're in, you know, in these stressful situations. So as well as taking a chaplaincy course, I'm also taking crisis intervention classes.
Okay.
To help prepare me and equip me to be able to help first responders and their families.
Wow, you are a beautiful person. Congratulations for that.
You should be
very, very proud. I'm proud for you.
I'm excited to see what doors opens up as I accomplish these classes.
Absolutely, and doors will be opening. So you've got a good ride ahead of you, I think. Boy, this has been exciting, and I know that there's so much more that we could talk about, but we're going to wrap up. Is there anything before we leave that you'd like to talk about that we've missed today?
I'd just like to ask your listeners that if they ever... think about me at any time. I would love prayers. Just prayers, just not just for me, but for first responders all over all over the world. Just always keep first responders in your prayers.
Thank you for that. That's extremely important, and they need our help and they need our prayers. So, thank you for saying that. Well, now, where can folks go to learn more about you, and where can they purchase your book?
Well, if they want to find out more about me, follow me on my blog, and then you can also follow me on from there, any of my social media sites. So my website is inhisway.net, and from there, there's a link of where you can buy my book. It's on Amazon, so you can also look it up on Amazon. The book is called In His Way, so it's pretty hopefully simple and easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's also available on christianbook.com and Barnes & Noble.
All right. One of the reviews, I think it was on your website, it is titled A Real Story by a Real Person. And I could not agree more. Rebecca, I know that your honesty in sharing your story and writing your book In His Way is helping so many people. And for that, I'm honored to have had this opportunity to learn from you today and to share you with our audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you today.